Welcome to another episode of Refill by YBGG. And thank you for joining us once again. I'm your host, Danielle Smith, the Globe Coach. This is the home of all things personal development, authentic conversations, audio blogs, and tangible advice to expedite your journey. Steep some chai tea or grab some Hennessy. It's time to refill your cup. Okay, welcome to another episode of Refill by YBGG. Today, I am so excited about our guest. She is a powerhouse and a wealth of knowledge, and I've learned so much from just connecting with her via social media. So today, we are joined by Seek Cindy. She is a spiritual therapist. You can find her on social media at Seek Cindy. But I know that Cindy can tell her story a bit better than I can. So thank you so much for joining us, Cindy. Can you just tell us a bit about yourself and the work that you do?
Yeah, I can. Thank you so much for having me, first of all, Danielle. So as you've already said, my name is Seek Cindy. And basically, I combine holistic and spiritual methods with traditional psychology or traditional therapy. So I always thought that something was missing from traditional therapy. So what I aim to do is really bring in a merge of some of my traditional African spiritual practices or knowledges to be able to provide people with, like I said, a more holistic or well-rounded healing experience. So spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical, really unifying all of those areas. So I work with the unconscious mind, the subconscious mind, with the dream world, the inner child work, family dynamics, toxicity, generational curses, basically all of the things that cause like a pattern or repetition of trauma in people or in communities, like anything to do with that, I'm on it basically.
I love it. You're doing really important work. And I love that you mentioned the repetition of trauma, because breaking generational cycles is probably one of the main things and catalysts that kind of got me introduced to this work. It's like you get to a point where you're like, this has to stop.
Yes.
Like, this don't make no sense. Like,
you're like, so where is the end game? You know,
nobody thought that this had to stop, but I understand. Exactly. It's heavy work. It's really, really heavy work.
It's taxing
work on your soul of all things.
So
I think it's important that you have the correct supports to guide you through the process.
I agree.
So today we're going to be speaking about dealing with gaslighting partners and parents. And I'm so thankful that I have Cindy to shed some light on this topic, because it is a heavy one. I was just talking about it on Twitter and I'm like, I haven't mastered it yet, but as soon as I get there, I'm going to have to write on this, because this is heavy. Responses, because it's like, but I love
it's
you
like the
family,
invisible like, abuse, you know?
I don't know if you're good for me, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard so many quotes and it's just like, damn, that really hit home. There was one and it was like, not everyone who you love loves you, or not everyone that you think is good for you is good for you, something along those lines. And then there was another one, somebody was sharing what they had learned in a therapy session. And I guess the therapist had asked them, okay, well, if this person wasn't family, wasn't your sister, wasn't your mother, wasn't your brother, wasn't your grandmother, would you allow this type of behavior? And I was like, ooh, these are some really good questions.
Exactly. Yeah, these are the questions we need to start asking, you know.
So what are your personal experiences with this topic?
Oh, gosh. So me and gaslighting go way back. So my experiences with gaslighting actually started very early on in childhood. Mm-hmm. So I just do want to make a point of saying to the people listening out there that usually this is actually where and when gaslighting starts.
Yeah.
Because there are two types of gaslighting. I'll discuss that a bit later. But my own personal experiences with gaslighting started in the family home. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like a cultural version of gaslighting, you know, because it came from this colonial, religious, patriarchal, West African sort of ideology that my family had, you know, especially my parents being born under, you know, colonial rule.
Yeah.
It was a lot of suppression of my own voice, you know, and of my own truth. So because a lot of the time, you know, melanate people who have suffered from colonialism or the effects of slavery, like, we do tend to incorporate a lot of the things that we were taught from the colonists or the slave masters. There is this power struggle or power dynamic that my parents, like, you know, they had all the power. So this was the power dynamics in the family. They had all the power and the children were like the ones who were powerless. So a lot of the things we couldn't say, we couldn't express. I remember it being just like little things, like slang that we were learning in school, like saying, oh, you guys were like dude and stuff. Like normal things that would be so normal to say and wasn't disrespectful at all. Mm-hmm. If I said to or around my African parents, they would go crazy, you know. And the punishment would be so severe. And it was really confusing for me at the time because I was very much aware that I hadn't done anything wrong, hadn't done anything disrespectful. But you'll find that a lot of gaslighters are so heavily in their ego that it is about how they feel. And that's the experience that's projected onto them. It's like it was this very slow erasure of my own personal sense of self and my trust in myself, you know, because a lot of Africans and diasporans, they're not as comfortable recognizing their emotions or expressing their emotions or discussing their emotions. And I was a very emotional child, you know. So I grew up with like a lot of being told that I was being too emotional, that certain things that had happened that I expressed my truth about, because when I did want to heal, like around my teenage years, I really wanted to get into this journey of healing, even though I didn't know it yet. So I started to try and confront some things and talk to my parents about some of the experiences I had in childhood, some of the neglect, some of the abuse, and they would literally outright tell me that certain things flat out didn't happen.
Yeah, I can relate.
And these were memories I had clear as day, and it was so painful because I was like, I need you to be able to validate this so I can move on, so I can heal, you know. And like a lot of gaslighters, what happens is they carry so much shame. So it's actually a survival technique for them not to admit to your reality, especially if your reality threatens their sense of self, their security, their comfortability, you know, which in the case for my parents, it did, because when you grow up in such harsh environments, it's a luxury to care about emotions. It's a luxury to tell someone you have hurt me or this was abusive. It's a luxury they never had. So I do feel like it was quite triggering also for them seeing me be able to be like, yeah, I want to talk about this that hurt me or this trauma that you did. It's like, no, we had to worry about food, clean water, education, clothes. We didn't have time to sit around and think about how we feel, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To be quite frank. You know that they're walking miles barefoot, and that
is
a luxury. I love the way you put it.
It is. It really is.
That kind of leads into another question. So you mentioned the concept of validating your pain and your experience.
Yes.
How can we as adults validate our experiences and know that they are just as real and were just as painful and just as valid as any other experience, even if we never get the apologies or the acknowledgement? I think even before we get the apology, we're a lot of us are waiting for the acknowledgement. There's things that I've you know, maybe told my son, stories I've told my son about my childhood, and I'm like, you're lucky this happened to me. he'll go against my go behind my back and kind of leak to my mom and be like, yeah, well, she said this happened. She's like, no, it didn't. And I'm like in shock, and I'm like, how can you both? I have the scar, you know. I love the way you put it about it being a survival tactic. So how can we validate ourselves in that place so that we can begin the process of healing?
So one thing that really, really helped me was gathering stories from people who had been through similar things. It was like putting a name to certain things that I didn't know existed. So I was also like a latchkey kid. So I was left at home, like alone every day and stuff. And I didn't actually know there was a term for this or that it was a form of abuse because it was made to seem so very normal. So once I started to research about it, I found out there were so many other people who had been through this. And I tracked a lot of their stories about how it led to their development problems it caused later on in life. So it's so important to connect with a community that have been through similar or the same things, because they can give you that validation that actually the people who hurt you will never be able to fully give you. Because it's like, even if they can admit what they did, a lot of the times they don't have empathy for it. They're like, okay, I did that, you know, sorry, it was in the past, or, you know, let's move on. That's not really the validation we want. Yeah. And yeah, so I'll say one thing that helps is finding a community, doing your research, and also journaling has saved my life. Keeping a written document of your memories is everything.
Yeah, yeah. How I love journaling, and I didn't actually know that it was part of my healing. It was just I needed a place to put these feelings. I want to have these conversations. These healing conversations, but the parties that I want to speak to are unwilling or don't have the capacity or aren't meeting me with the empathy that I need. So I just needed to put these feelings somewhere. But I love documenting the journey, because I look back literally just to see how much growth I've
And it's almost like reading the words back to yourself. It affirms it. You need to see it reflected outside of you. So it's not just in your head anymore as this thing that might not have happened. It's like, no, it's on paper. I'm reading it back. This is real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's really important. I'd say for people that struggle with their mental health, because when you're in a space of, like, I don't know, when you're, I guess I call it like a relapse, when you know you're falling back into the rut, you're really... you're at the bottom, like as low as you can possibly go, rock bottom, essentially.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might feel as if something really hasn't happened. So it's kind of like gaslighting yourself.
Yes. I love that you said that. Yes.
Your emotions are so cloudy. So you kind of, and your judgment is working against you in this space, because, you know, you're second guessing everything, and doubt is the resounding feeling. So now you look back a few months from now and you're like, you were so dramatic. Like, it wasn't even that bad.
Yeah.
And you look back and you're like, I actually was considering, you know, possibly taking my life in that space.
Yeah. And like, this was really bad.
It was that bad. You know, it's affirming. I love that you say that.
It literally. And that is the thing with gaslighting that I love you said, you start doing it to yourself, because this takes me back to the point that I said gaslighting usually starts in childhood. The reason I said that is because gaslighting is a program. It's like a code that is encoded into you to seek external validation, because you don't see yourself as a safe space. So we are all born with like an internal navigation system, which is our intuition. But what gaslighting in childhood does is it takes this away from us. So this leads us out into the world vulnerable. So we're vulnerable to anyone or everything that we think has proper information or has the correct information that we don't. It can lead us to be more open to codependency, and especially to abuse from others, because we are literally communicating to ourselves and the world, I don't trust myself. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to function. I don't know how to be a human. I always get things wrong. It's that program that further down the line exposes and makes you attractive to future gaslighters. So it's so important to understand that it's something we have to break. Like we spoke of these cycles. It's not just you come across this one gaslighter, then you move on with your life and everything's fine. It's like, no, unless you break that code, it's mostly likely a few months or a few years down the line, you're going to find another gaslighter. One will pop up at work. One will pop up in your friendship circle. One will take you on a date, you know?
Girl, like the never ending cycle.
Literally.
So that kind of leads me to ask, if you haven't been one of those people that has a super strong intuition all your life, how can you work to develop that within yourself? Like, what are some actual practices that we can do to kind of strengthen our intuition so that we can tell whether or not we're actually in a situation where we're being gaslighted, if that's a correct term, or if we're reacting or overthinking? Like, how do you strengthen discernment essentially?
Amazing question. So a few things. Once again, I would love to shout out journaling, because it is amazing for really putting your thoughts down onto paper so that you can recognize what is actually going on. Because like I said, like gaslighting, or the same with intuition, it's about a pattern of behaviors or a pattern of things. If you want to develop this intimate relationship with your intuition again, it has to become a pattern or a practice over time of response and reward. So your intuition is going to tell you how you feel, what doesn't feel good, or what will feel good. And it's like you strengthen it by responding to that and giving it what it wants or what it's telling to you. It's like a child. You have to see the relationship with your intuition like a child. It's like if your intuition is telling you, this person feels bad for me, I feel anxious around this person, can we not be around this person anymore? And instead of trying to gaslight yourself and saying, oh, don't be silly, this person's fine, they're lovely, everyone else loves them, maybe it's just you. It's like, no, I'm going to respect you, my intuition. I'm going to care about you enough, my inner child, to say, you don't want to be around this person. You don't have to. This is not going to happen again. It is this call and response that we do to build our intuition. And it also helps if we have a lot of patience. Patience gives us discernment. So sometimes when we feel something, we might need to step back and chew on it, ponder on it for a few days before acting. This is how we know, because the feeling of understanding when you've been gaslighted or abused, it doesn't really leave. Whereas overthinking might dissipate over time, or you might calm yourself down a little bit. Like I said, gaslighting is very much about a pattern of things that happened. So it's so important also for you to be able to recognize the patterns between yourself and other people. How many times this person makes you feel a certain way? How many times this thing makes you feel a certain way? Because if you're overthinking or overreacting, you can let some things go and it probably won't happen again. But gaslighting or abuse, this person is going to keep pressing on this button. So it's very much about looking for patterns, you know, seeking patterns. And it's like you might go off and keep thinking about this thing over and over again. And you will start to question yourself and you start to second guess yourself when it is gaslighting. Gaslighting is very much focused and centered around picking and piecing yourself apart and not really believing your own thoughts or your own opinion. Whereas overthinking, I feel like it's more like you're just spiraling. You're going into thoughts, you're going into thoughts from one to the other. But gaslighting is, oh my gosh, now I'm starting to doubt myself. That is one of the biggest differences and ways to know the difference, I would say.
I like that. Because it is about the power that you're giving away. Essentially less focus on the abuser, because they exist, there's nothing we can really do about them, and more focus on empowering yourself.
Exactly.
I love that you mentioned the whole patience tactic, because I've done a few talks and people, you know, have asked, like, you know, how do I reclaim my power? And I feel like it's so underestimated, because in that 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 hours, however long you decide to take to process what's going on, you are literally uninterrupted in your thoughts.
Exactly. So,
you know, you might even not share what you're feeling with anybody in that space. So you know that it's literally just you versus
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Also, you allow to live rent-free in your mind, kind of debating this thing. So I feel like
you really need that.
Like to hear your own voice. It's
exactly. because gaslighting is like, oh my gosh, there's so much noise in my head. I don't know which voice is mine, which isn't. So you need to be able to step back. And also it's so important to have that patience, because gaslighting can make you quite aggressive once you finally do realize what's happening to you. Yes. It can make you quite impulsive. And this is just another thing the gaslighter can use to make you look like you're the problem.
I love that you mentioned the fact that it can make you aggressive. I've been talking about this because, like, once the light turns on,
you're like, what?
And you cry aloud, what? You did what?
How dare you? Yes.
It is now time for me to get payback. Whoever gets
exactly, by any necessary, you transform. Exactly.
And I say that pausing and that patience is critical, because there are things that are being developed within you so that you handle this appropriately.
Exactly.
And you don't, like, you know, end up like creating a bad reputation for yourself or acting out of character.
Exactly.
Allow them to press your buttons, because those effects and dealing with that after the fact is just a whole other level.
It's just more shame on you.
Yeah.
And then it makes you think, wait, what if I really was the problem? Yeah. Look at this big scene I caused.
Yeah. And now you have to deal with all those other voices and opinions and the critiques of everything.
Exactly.
In front of. And then I also feel like that's you giving your power away again.
It is.
You know, you allow that person to trigger you.
Get you to that point.
Yeah, it's a cycle. Yeah. It's really a cycle. I love journaling for, again, being able to, you know, just think about my thinking one-on-one with no interruption. I feel like in this day and age where we spend so much time on social media,
consuming other people's thoughts and energy.
Yes, you might see a viral opinion, a viral meme, a viral joke that just
happens
to align with what you might be thinking.
Yes.
And you internalize that narrative now. And
you're like, I love that you said that.
But because there was 10,000 comments, I feel like I'm not responsible if I don't subscribe to this way of thinking. So
it's like this mob mentality, you know. And I love that you said that, because another thing I wanted to go into and explain very quickly is it's important to know there are actually two different types of gaslighting. So I love that you mentioned that, because there is a passive gaslighting and the active gaslighting. So what you just described is a passive gaslighting. Yes. So it's not somebody or an institution intentionally trying to gaslight you or change your perception. Is literally just something that happens because you don't have enough trust in yourself and you see the majority lean towards a certain thing. So this is not something somebody's actively doing to gaslight you. It's just like, okay, I'm going on about my usual business, and then I see something that is affirmed that I might not necessarily agree with, but other people do. So I'm just going to kind of fall into it and then fall into these sets of behaviors or patterns of thinking, and you don't even know it's happening. And this is important to know that this is also a form of gaslighting, because this form doesn't feel as abusive, but it's still happening.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's really important that you mention the abusive component, because a lot of times we can excuse our power away in the sense where it's like, well, it isn't really that bad.
Exactly.
There's another one, because we're talking about, you know, parents and partners, which are, you know, really important relationships in our life. Always hear, but you've been with him for so long, or that's your family. And I feel like that's another form of gaslighting.
This is
as well that can just, you know, play on a really bad situation, but because it's not outright abusive.
Exactly.
He doesn't mean it. I'll
give
a scenario where I have found myself kind of excusing my power away in respects to gaslighting. I have found in my dating life that some of the men that I'm with will be kind of subtle. Their gaslighting, the comments they might make in respect to you know, things that I have going on in my personal life. Like, I don't know if this what this would be classified as, but let's say you share something that you have going on in your life that you're really excited about, and you're silent.
You're preaching to the choir.
It's very obvious that they don't really care about what you have going on, or maybe
yes,
it's time to, you know, get you to shrink and maybe share your wins a little bit less or win
yeah.
a little bit less. I find that I can excuse that away just because I'm pretty secure in myself on my own, and I'm not yearning for
that validation.
Yes, or validation. Yeah. So for me, I'm like, well, it's not really that bad. But those types of actions, or I guess maybe the omission of the action,
yes,
can be just as detrimental, because now,
of course, like,
well, maybe he said something and I didn't hear him, or
yes, he showed exactly,
or maybe I'm thinking too much into this.
When yes, exactly, it's
just as valid because it hurt all the same.
Of course.
Yeah, so that's something that I found myself doing and have definitely.
I love that you were able to validate yourself in that moment, yeah, though, always, and you're able to know, like, actually, no, this doesn't feel right. It might not have been abusive. Nothing rude might have been said, but nothing being said is a problem in itself.
Yeah, I completely agree. And as women in particular, we're definitely queen of excusing things away. So I think it's
exactly
important that we can identify it and give it a name, and then know how to handle it appropriately,
so yes, we don't
allow our triggers to be pressed anymore. Because the people that actually thrive on gaslighting and manipulation have like entire rule books.
Yes,
there's a whole game and code to this that we're on the outside of as genuine people.
Exactly.
But you really have to know how to navigate it. I think it's the
book. You do. And you have to know. Also, sorry, say that again.
So there's the book. I think it's called The 48 Laws of Power by Robert.
Oh,
I haven't read it. Gosh. I never wanted to. But
I love that you brought that up.
This year, my perspective changed on it because somebody said that it allows them to think the way that manipulative people do. And I was like,
yes,
okay, from that perspective, okay, fine, because power isn't anything that I really, again, yearn for or desire. So I've never really cared to read the book, and I skim read it in the book.
Yeah.
What is this?
I thought it was like The Narcissist's Guide to Life or something. Like, I was like, okay, this is a weird book.
It's definitely, give me 2 seconds, Cindy. Someone's at my door. I hope I don't lose my train of thoughts. This package? Thank you. I'm so mad it was a package. Where was I? I never really cared to read the book just because it didn't align with anything that I wanted to learn about. But I do think that we can benefit from understanding how their mindsets work so that we can avoid becoming victim to their traps, because they can smell somebody that is primed, and like you said, it begins in childhood, right? So you meet somebody, you open up, and you say, I've experienced XYZ, and you know, I struggle with XYZ, and I'm trying to work on XYZ, and they swoop in like, okay, so I see you're broken here, you're second guessing yourself here, and then they prey on you. So I haven't read the book yet, but it's on my list solely to understand how to better navigate narcissists, manipulative people, and gaslighters, because I find that as a genuine person, and maybe somebody that's experienced it, yes, you do continue to attract people that display these traits.
Exactly. That's the thing, like recognizing that it is this cycle. And once you have been exposed to it once, you're really vulnerable to experience it again. Especially, I have to say, the people who are most vulnerable to it, it is women and people who are in touch with their emotions, or people who have emotional intelligence, because gaslighting is really founded upon crazy making. It's making this person look crazy, irrational, like they can't be trusted, even to the outside. Yeah. Like gaslighting, it gains more power when the gaslighter has an audience, because it's like, now I can make you look crazy in front of all these other people. So we have proof. We have further evidence. Yeah. So it's the majority. So now you really are crazy. So another important technique to ward off gaslighting is to work on balancing and controlling your emotions. You can't control the gaslighter, but you can control your emotions, which is like the trigger that they press. And it's like, kaboom, okay, you know, now you're gaslit. Like it's very, very important to recognize emotions are at the center of this.
Yeah, Yeah. So how would you suggest somebody navigate living with a gaslighter, or maybe having a gaslighter as a parent? So somebody that, I don't know, if, you know, it's not easy for you to distance yourself from this person.
Yes.
Would you even suggest distancing yourself from this person? To what extent? Like, how does one navigate that? Because that can be hard. Like you said, our parents really didn't get the luxury of expressing themselves freely. So, you know, any expression of self feels like an attack.
So
they can, that can be something that's really common with our generation, finding this new sense of freedom and wanting to speak our truth all the time and be our
ourselves.
And it's just like a slap in the face. And then, you know, we have to battle that. And then you have the internal battle, which makes you question self and kind of undoing all the work that you've done. So how does one navigate that in the most healthy way possible? Also considering our age and all those things, and the fact that our parents might be relying on us than they have before, and having empathy, but still creating boundaries and respecting self.
Yeah. So first of all, I would say, if you live with a gaslighter or you work with a gaslighter, even, like I said, it's so important for you to keep a written record or like a chart of things that they say, things that the two of you discuss, things that they speak upon. And this also includes writing down times and dates. So this, not only does this help to retain your own sanity, because you could always revert back to this point of truth, but if they ever do try to challenge certain things that you have done or that you haven't done, you now have it on file to be able to show them. And you also show them that you do have this thing now where you record things, and you can make it seem like, this is not just about you. This is my journal. You know, I document everything that happens in here. Like, don't make it think, you know, they have this much power to make you have a journal because of them. Like, if you ever do need to pull up the journal and be like, look, I record everything that happens on this day at this time, this was said or this was done. You know, you can show them that, no, I actually do have something, a backup now, to be able to trust my mind and trust what happens. Because gaslighters, they don't want you to trust your mind or your memory. And it's like, I'm not having to just rely on my mind or my memory now. I actually have this booklet or this sheet of paper where I keep things down. And it also gives you some power back over your situation. It allows you to reconvince yourself and assure your mind that actually, no, you're not crazy, you're not making things up, you're not too sensitive, and you're not imagining things. You know, these things are actually happening. It'll start to allow you to rebuild a sense of yourself and recognize that most of the times the gaslighter is projecting. A lot of the things that they say about you or to you is actually how they feel or what they're struggling with within themselves. This gives you like a physical and visual proof. Because gaslighting slowly erodes your confidence, your reasoning skills, and your thinking, it's really important for you to do things that affirm your mind and your reasoning skills. So you can do like puzzles, you can play chess, you can play things that strengthen the mind. Yes. So this is quite independent of them, but it's helping you to strengthen your mind and to heal your mind, to build up resistance, not only against them, but against any other gaslighters, because what you really need to do is work on trusting your mind again. It also does help if you can speak to others who have knowledge of gaslighting and will be able to understand your situation, perhaps seeking therapy or somebody who is skilled in these areas. Because if you try to speak to somebody who's not a professional, what it can cause is an opportunity for you to be further gaslit, you know, which is really everything we're trying to avoid. Like you mentioned, people who are like, oh, that's your mom, that's your dad. Yeah, but you know, they're from a different time, blah blah blah. It's like, no, you don't need further gaslighting. So if you are going to talk to somebody about it whilst you're still living with or in close proximity with the gaslighter, I definitely recommend it's a professional. And you also have to stand up for yourself. That is 100% number one important when it comes to being gaslit, because gaslighting really makes people cower away. It's like they almost shrink themselves or shy away because they lose confidence and trust in themselves. And this only makes it easier for the gaslighter to see you as weakened or cornered. And you have to remember, a lot of these people are actually abusers and very narcissistic. So they do get a thrill out of seeing you shrink yourself further over time, you know? So it's so important, like, for you to stick up for yourself, for you to say certain things when they try to accuse you of doing things or they try to suggest certain things that happen. It's very important for you to be assertive, not aggressive, but assertive in the fact that this thing did happen or this thing did not happen, and I'm not willing to waver on this stance. I'm not going to say things like, okay, if you say so, or I'm not going to make it seem like, okay, I want to be the bigger person, I don't want to argue, so it's fine. It's like, no, this is my boundary. This either happened or it didn't happen, you know, because they will be like a dog with a bone. It won't stop, and you'll slowly lose even more power over time. If you're like, okay, I'm just going to give you that, it's fine. If you say it happened, it's like, okay, it did. Like, no, that can never happen when you live with or you're in close proximity with a gaslighter.
Yeah, I think that you've touched on so many important points, because it's such a tricky thing to navigate. I think the thing that stands out the most is seeking professional support. To help you navigate it, because it can feel really defeating going through that process. And again, it's with somebody that you're in, you know, close proximity to, and you can't really escape. It can be really defeating having that proof when you do actually have the log, or you have the emails, and you have the text, or you have your journal. And then you have this burning proof, and you're ready to confront whatever the issue is, like, based on, you've already, you know, debated amongst yourself and decided that this is what you want to do. And you're met with either a resistant energy, or for myself, the one that was, I think, most traumatizing to me was when they enjoyed the whole display of my saying, and this happened, and this did happen.
Yes, they really do.
That actually was, I think, the moment where... So just a bit about my experience with gaslighting. I have people really, really close to me that did that consistently, and then the cycle continued. And as a result of my, like, finally dealing with my issues and getting professional help, I realized I was diagnosed with severe depression. And through my depressive episodes, I would actually find myself experiencing psychosis. Now, psychosis, I would like to say, is akin to, like, literally losing your shits. And I'm sure you're well versed with psychosis, but you kind of think things are happening that aren't. You're very paranoid, and so it was an accumulation of things. But the thing that started that whole spiral was my just kind of getting fed up. I kind of had suppressed the abuse that I experienced as a child so much so that I had convinced myself that it hadn't happened. But the effects and the nightmares and the flashbacks were too
real. They're very real. Yeah.
For me to say that this hadn't happened. And I too was studying psychology at the time, and my friend's like, you're a freaking nerd. And I'm like, yep, I was there trying to diagnose myself. but I didn't have the tools, and I didn't have the skill set at the time. So when I began to confront all of the parties that were involved, and I was like, you know what, this did happen, and it was wrong. And you were wrong, and your reaction and the things you said, I never said that. All of that was really really traumatizing, because I was expecting, okay, this is going to be the breakthrough now. You know, we have this conversation. It's truth versus truth, you know? The honesty and acceptance on everyone's part. A lot of time has passed, and I simply am expressing this because I'm tired of being suppressed and I want to be free.
Exactly.
I'm going to speak my truth and hopefully move forward together as family.
It's a liberation moment.
I was shocked with the them being like enjoying, you know, the display, enjoying my position, and then kind of playing on it and leveraging it, where it's like, okay, she's actually in the mental ward. She's making this all up, you know? And that healing from that, after healing from the trauma, was just like, oh shit, what the hell did I do? Like, what was the point? So I really think that it's imperative that you have professional support, because for me, it was like the spiritual warfare and the generational curse that I was fighting, that I was like, this is heavy.
100%. And it's like, you're fighting it for all these people who are not willing to accept the truth. So now it's not just your battle. you're fighting their karmic battles. Yeah. You know, you're really out there trying to do this for the whole generational line, which a lot of us are trying to do. Because a lot of people who wake up to gaslighting, we're the only person in the family who does.
Yes.
This is hard work. It's not a joke, you know.
It's super taxing. Like it's draining emotionally at best. But it's necessary work. It's necessary work. And then I feel like the empath in us will also, you know, say or feel bad for the fact that they weren't afforded this opportunity. Because again, a lot of the times, you know, there are situations where they just have these narcissistic personalities. And then there's other times where they were literally doing the best that they could. They had, and it's very hard to accept that you failed your children in any capacity. So again, it's a survival tactic to protect themselves, but it comes to a point where it's like, okay, am I more concerned with protecting you?
Exactly.
Or me living my truth and living out the remainder of my years, feeling fulfilled and aligned and at peace.
Exactly. And knowing
that, bringing that curse, you know, for generations to come. So it's a lot to battle within yourself and on your own. It is a lot. Much. So much,
especially when you have, you know, your family or the people who you're trying to awaken against you at the same time. It can cause a lot of people to just give up and give in and be like, all right, I am the problem. I am the crazy. You know, you're right. You know, because it's almost so much harder to fight. Especially when it's like the odds are against you. If we're going back now to speaking about some cultural dominations, like in African culture, sometimes religion can play a heavy role, so they might even call a pastor in now, or you know, they might call other elder family members in now, you know, to and this is now an authority figure who's telling you you're crazy or who's telling you you're problematic, you know.
Which and that might even, difficult. I think the fact that it might even be steeped in the fact just because you are, you've reached a level of awakening that maybe said person has not. And that might be why they continue with crazy. And it's like, no, I'm actually pretty in tune with what's going on.
I know what the hell is going on.
I've done my homework. I feel what I feel, you know, so it's a lot. And I love that you mentioned that, you know, people can give up because they don't understand and they only see the physical realm and physical components of things. And it's like, just get over it. And it's like, no, I can't just get over it because at my birth, children that I don't want experiencing the same kinds of abuse, and I have to, you know, kind of put a stop to it with me in this generation. Exactly. So the cycle ends here. But I guess it takes a certain, everybody, you know, comes into their own on their own timing. But it definitely takes a level of open-mindedness and really just being mindful and in tune with what's going on around you to even recognize when you're battling a physical entity, and this is more so like a stronghold on your family or on your, you know, your whatever environment you're in due to, again, unhealed trauma on someone else's part.
100%. And I feel like it's really important along the journey also to stop asking people for advice. One thing that being programmed into gaslighting programs you to do is to ask for that. And this is not just like, okay, what's wrong? We all ask for advice or assistance. This is like, no, because you have a program that tells you you can't trust your opinion.
This is
what is leading you. So a friendly chat with friends asking their opinion is, it's not even a friendly chat anymore because you're under this program. Now it's literally another way you are giving your power away and giving people the potential to be able to gaslight you passively. So not actively or abusively, but still gaslight you. Because the advice that they give you might be entirely contradictory to what you actually need or what's good for you. And this is, we go back to passive gaslighting, because they might use some examples like, oh, you know, but everyone does this, or there is these gaslighting beliefs that just exist in society, as we mentioned, like, oh no, this is your mother. Mother sacrificed so much for you, but after everything she's been through, you know, or everyone has family problems, you can't run away from them, or you can't cut your family off. You know, there are like so many different passive forms or communal forms of gaslighting that exist that we also need to be very aware of.
That is so key. I say that I would ask my power away. I was an ask-hole in my early years of like personal development. Because it was like anybody that appeared to have a little bit of authority or experience in the area of emotional intelligence and alignment and living a fulfilled life, I just gobbled everything up and soaked it up like a sponge. Also that was a period where I was most vulnerable because I was oversharing because yes, I had that validation. I needed to hear that me too, when you are normal and you know that has happened to other people and I understand what you're going through. So I was yearning for that that support so that I kind of sought it from people that were unqualified, and
exactly
that support from people that are unqualified, like we said, it can traumatize you all over again because
exactly
you're being gaslit all over again in different capacities, and sometimes
exactly
sometimes they're simply just regurgitating the things that were said,
the societal exactly
beliefs and norms, especially like, within, like for example West Indian culture. I did hair for a few years, and you know, we'd watch like, you know, typical Black dramas, and they have a lot of our traumas that they showcase in different shows, and a lot of times when we have a conversation of you know, sexual abuse or generational curses, the things that they were told and the things that I was told were so discrediting. I don't even think that word serves it justice, but they were so invalidating that it's just like, how could you say that to your own child? But it was nothing more than that's how their
that's what they were told. That's what their parents they never were had told.
The luxury to address it. So you might not even know their own experience with it. So those little comments, like for example, you know, just get over it, that can, you know, set you back, especially if it's coming from somebody that you respect, and now you become into the super tough person.
Exactly.
Feel your emotions because you're suppressing them once again, and then that pain kind of manifests in other areas. So who you have in your ear in that space is so
important.
They might even envy that you've come into your power.
Exactly. I love that you said that.
So it's a lot. And you have to know how to process it because it will just set you back on your whole healing journey that you've done so much work to begin in the first place.
100%.
You had to muster up to be this voice and this light worker, you know, in the midst of darkness and whatever shadows.
So many challenges along the way. So many people who exist as like potential opposition to throw you off. So when you're working through the program of gaslighting, you need to also be prepared that as you're working through a program, people who are part of that program are still attracted to you. So it doesn't necessarily mean that just because you've identified what gaslighting is and you're trying to break away from it, that, you know, now you're only going to meet people who are in the truth or who mirror you. It's like, no, they still will come as you're working out that program. So don't get sidetracked.
Discernment is so critical. I feel like with every experience, you do refine your discernment, but at the same time, you get new level, new devil. You get introduced to a whole new beast where it's like, damn, you're really skilled at this thing.
Yes.
Where it's like, you know, they might even, you know, say that they've said something. And it's like, what? How did you not hear that? And they're putting on a full Oscar-worthy performance. And you're just sitting there like, you know, maybe I did imagine that. And then it slowly escalates. And you're like, oh, a whole new beast. You're not even overt with it.
Exactly.
Kind of, you're passive with it. You were just really sneaky.
And exactly.
So, Serena. It's a really important thing that I'm really glad that we touched on today. I think that you're definitely an expert and authority in this field.
Thank you.
Just naturally. You're welcome. Just naturally. I feel like we all have a really strong intuition as people of color. I feel like that's our little gift to kind of protect us from danger and bad vibes and et cetera and all of that negative energy. What is one thing that you would suggest for somebody to do? Maybe, you know what, since we're so big on journaling, what is one really deep journal prompt that you could maybe suggest for the audience to action to kind of process what's going on and determine whether or not they're in a gaslighting situation, or you know, kind of strengthen themselves so they have the ability to either navigate it better or leave that situation if they have the ability to leave.
Yeah. So I would say some journal prompts or some journal themes to work with is a lot to do with your feelings. Like I said, it's so important for us to develop the ability to be able to respond to our feelings or our intuition or what can be referred to as our inner child. So when a situation happens, focus on how the situation made you feel. Because it's not always about what's said, because like we said, some people, they don't actually use abusive or toxic language because they don't mean to. But if you focus on how the situation made you feel, why it made you feel like that, mm-hmm. and other things that it triggered you to feel or think from the past, because then you'll be able to make that connection of, okay, these are my triggers. This is my shadow work that I still need to do. So even whilst I might set up a boundary with this person or choose to remove this person from my life, I'm still taking accountability for the part of shadow work that will exist even when they're gone, even when they're not a problem, even when they're not saying these things. So it's attacking the issue at the root. Does that make sense?
Yes, I'm big on digging to the root of the issue, no matter what the problem is, whether it's like in a work setting, family setting. I'm just big on getting to the root. I don't really care about all the other stuff. Although there are indicators that will get you closer to what the root problem is, my main focus is, what are we fighting here? You know, like, what are the facts?
Exactly.
Try to, once I understand, you know, my emotions and how they play a role in what I'm feeling, you know, what are the facts? What is the truth?
Exactly. What's left here after this person is gone? Yeah. Try to filter
it out and sift it out as best as we can, so that, you know, nobody is projecting here. Not myself and not the other party, and no one's kind of speaking from a place of hurt. It's more so, you know, clarity. Because I feel like that will affect the results and, you know, the outcome. Because again, when you're highly emotional and trying to confront anything, you're definitely more susceptible to being taken advantage of or causing further damage, because you are now operating from a space of, you know, confusion and chaos, and that is never good when you're trying to, you know, come to a resolve. So where can the people connect with you online? How can they work with you? Tell us a little bit about where we can find you online, Cindy.
So currently you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. So on Instagram, my handle is @SeekCindyOfficial. On Twitter, I am @SeekCindy. I also have a website, seekcindy.com. And you can email me at cindyanna-boot@hotmail.co.uk. If you don't remember that, as soon as you click on my Twitter or Instagram, my email will be in the bio. So anyone who wants to speak to me further about this, we take it from there.
Awesome. I want to thank you again for your time, your knowledge.
You're so welcome.
This was I think a conversation will be really healing and affirming to a lot of the listeners. These are, you know, some of the things that we might suffer with secretly. Also being trapped inside for this much time, and, you know, situations that aren't always super comfortable.
Yes.
You know, give people some insight how to better navigate these situations and lift a burden mentally, emotionally, and spiritually from themselves with this. So I think that this will, you know, I guess, like, you know, plant the seed of healing for a lot of people.
I really hope it does. Yeah.
You know, we don't do this really for fun. Nobody does this work for fun. You know, it's definitely fulfilling, but we're definitely mission focused.
It's heavy work, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I want to thank you so much for your time once again. That is, you know, the end of this episode for Refill by YBGG. Thank you guys for listening. And I hope that you learn or take something that you can action immediately to see a change in your life. Thank you again. Have yourselves a great day.
As always, the work doesn't end here. Remember to apply the gems you picked up, because the magic truly is in the doing. You've got this globe thing under control. Maddox is Maddox. Until next time.